Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Doctrine Detox Podcast. This is episode number 37, and today I'm joined by John Krasinski.
Hello, everybody.
Not really, but he sounds a lot like him. This is my friend Jesse Mazeka, who I met in church years ago, here to round out the Jesse trifecta. We started with Jesse Dick, then we had Jesse Rogers, and now we have Jesse Mazeka as well. I'm super excited to have Jesse on here, though, because he and I, like I mentioned, went to the same church for a long time, and we had a lot of the same religious doctrines put into us, and he has since deconverted like I have, so I'm super excited to hear his story. So without further ado, Jesse, let's just jump right into this. What's your religious background?
My original background, it started with Methodist, Christianity, but Methodist, and that was just off of my dad's side of the family growing up. You know, we lived down snow camp, kind of countryside. That's just what they did out there. And growing up, they always brought me to church on Sundays. I was part of the choir. I would play piano there. I did a lot of work into that stuff. But later on, when I got to high school, or I guess it was more around middle school when it started, my cousin Lydia went to Word of Life, and that's a non-denominational. So I hadn't quite experienced anything outside of like their more strict, typical religious experience. I would say more in the Bible Belt area. For sure. But when I got to Word of Life, it was a completely new, just something completely different than what I thought religion could be.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the initial grasp was very pulling. I was like, okay, well, this is a community, this is like a family, both of which I never really thought I had for a while. I mean, I definitely love my parents, I love my siblings, but there, it's been, I think all of us could agree that there were some things like growing up that definitely were a little bit rough. So for me to think that I needed that escape, going to Word of Life, I mean, that says a lot in itself, but we'll just kind of leave that there for now.
Yeah, that's understandable. I understand what you're talking about, though. Word of Life, by the way, is the church that we went to, and a lot of the other people that I've talked about in the past, like Jesse Dick and Adrian Beck, we all went to this same church. It was called Word of Life. But yeah, it was a very alluring community. It was a very hip and cool church, and so it really attracted a lot of the younger folks, and we all thought it was great until it wasn't, like I've talked about in previous episodes, where they valued the help that you gave over the person, and things like that. Some of the theology was a little whack,
right?
There was mild notes of racism, just Bible,
a little bit of sprinkle a few things here and there, and yeah, you've got pretty much exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. So, Jesse, what is your current belief system?
Well, I don't really necessarily have anything. I try to be as respectful as I can to other people's beliefs. And that kind of, I guess that stands as my own beliefs, is that I don't necessarily have that faith in a higher power like I once did. Obviously, if something were to come down out of the sky and say like, oh, I'm God or whatever, I would be a little, critical at first. I'm a cynic in a lot of ways.
I understand.
And it's just, until I get that definitive, like, right in front of your face answer, I don't think it's ever going to be something that I will let anyone really convince me exists. Because for the longest time, even though people were telling me that God was real, that all this stuff has happened, that was still critical. And it's hard not to have those questions, those doubts. But you're not really allowed to flesh those out when you're amongst a crowd like we were in. It was you weren't really allowed to express those beliefs without being. I felt like I was going to be harshly criticized and or just put down or shunned. But as far as my beliefs go, that's pretty much it. I like for people to believe what they believe, as long as it's not stepping onto my personal beliefs. Or if I'm doing the same to them. I just try to keep that nice, happy medium as much as I can.
I understand, yeah. You were mentioning, though, like, you won't let anyone convince you whether or not that there is something out there. Would you describe yourself then as more of, like, an agnostic?
Yeah, I would say yes, because I leave room. I wouldn't say quite atheist, because I like to accept the possibility that there could be something.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, definitely.
I would welcome it if that ever came about.
Right.
Now, am I doubtful that would happen? Yeah.
Yeah. atheism and agnosticism are belief systems in their own right, in that you believe that there isn't a God, or you believe in what you do know. One thing that I've kind of talked about a little bit on the show and posted about on my Instagram, which you should follow, by the way, at Dr. Detox Pod, is that there is a fine line, but a definite line, between atheist and anti-theist, where anti-theist is what most people think atheist is, where they say, there is no God and I'm going to prove it. Whereas atheist is more, I don't see any evidence for a God right now, so I'm going to go on what I have evidence for. There's no sufficient evidence for me to believe in one. And then, of course, there's agnostic, where it's like, I don't know. We can't know. There's no way that we can. So I call myself an atheist, but that's only because I don't see sufficient evidence for a God. If I were to be presented with sufficient evidence for a God, I wouldn't call myself an atheist anymore.
So, I think that's where I line too.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So kind of a mix between atheist and agnostic. That's definitely understandable. I was there for the longest time too. So how did you get here? Because, you know, I remember when you and I were in the church, I don't know if you were ever a leader alongside some of us up there, but you definitely had the qualities of one. You know, you had the theological basis. You were very invested in the church. So how did you go from that to where you are now?
Well, that's a great question. When I was looking at the list you gave me, that I kind of probably had the most difficult time with, because, you know, when did it start? I think I always had these beliefs within me. I just never felt like I said before, I never felt like I could outwardly express them. So, you know, for me, the church, I cared so much about my people, like my friends that I made there, you know, the people that were younger than me. I did feel, you know, responsible in a lot of ways for taking care of the individuals that I was surrounded by, you know, whether it meant, you know, leading them in the right direction, not necessarily from my point of view. Like I didn't want to, like, push religious beliefs on them so much as I did, like, life guidance. Because, you know, a lot of the kids in our youth group were way younger than us. They were, like, 11, 12. I don't even really remember the age group, but some even younger than that. And from that age, I remember where I was. You know, like, everybody, I did feel really alone at that point in time in my life, and I always wanted that to not be the case for anyone that I saw. Or at least anyone that I had the chance to help, I wanted to.
Right.
Basically. But as far as deconverting, that really doesn't, I think it does have somewhere along, it feels like to me it was always there. I just, once I got the chance to, you know, get away from the church a little bit, get my own kind of thoughts, I really want to say it was going into more college, because at the time, the girlfriend I was dating, she was religious, but she wasn't the kind of, hey, I'm going to go to this, like, culty kind of place. It's, you know, I hate to call a Word of Life, like, a cult in a way, but I did get that connotation a lot from several people that weren't involved with it.
Right.
And I never wanted to listen, of course, because, you know, to me, they were, like, my family at the time. Like, you, Seth, a lot of other different people, Jesse, James, I could list so many people that I met through there that I still care about deeply.
Oh, same. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's just, just where I'm going with that, is I started to develop my own little route. And once I spread my wings just a little bit, that's all I needed.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to hear that you're in a cult when you're in the middle of the cult.
Right.
That's an issue that I've had with my mom a lot. That's an issue that I've had personally, like, with, not necessarily with cults, but like with toxic situations. And I didn't realize that the situation I was in was toxic until I left it. And I was like, oh, shoot. Yeah, no, that was actually very toxic. So I definitely understand. And you know, like you said, there are still a lot of people who are from there, and even some people who are still at that church to this day, who I still care about very, very deeply, but it's hard for me to communicate with them because, you know, they're in the middle of this cult-like setting, and they don't want to hear me talk about how much I don't like that cult.
Right. They don't, it's like they don't want to accept you for the person you've kind of grown into.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. To me, I don't want to say it was like a maturity thing, but the older I got, the more experience or more perspectives that I saw, it really added to my own.
Right.
Right, you know, because it's easy to get into that group think when you're only surrounded by the people that have the same mentality.
Yeah, yeah, you kind of fall into that echo chamber, which is a lot of what mm-hmm. we see with things like QAnon and stuff like that, where it's like they're only surrounded by people who echo their own beliefs. And so when they come across someone like me, who is very vocal against QAnon supporters on the internet, they think that people like me don't really exist, or that we're very small right. in number or whatever, or that we're the ones in the cult because everyone else around them has convinced them of that.
Yeah, it's easier to pretend.
Yeah, not necessarily to compare, you know, what used to be Word of Life to QAnon, because certainly I'm not saying that, but that's sort of the parallel right. that I draw there is that, you know, if you have a belief system where everyone believes in the same belief system, then everything else outside of it is dumb and stupid and bad, and mm-hmm. that's not the case at all. But yeah, you were talking about you gave more life advice than you did like religious doctrine mm-hmm. to people. And I definitely remember that. I think the reason why I have this memory of you being a leader alongside me at the church was because you and your friend group were so influential in the youth group that we went to that I, in my mind, very secretly, nobody else called you this, but in my mind, I called you guys the real leaders, because you guys were the ones who were able to connect with everyone else in a very real way. And it's because the way mm-hmm. that you connected with people wasn't through religion like we were told to do, but it was right. through what they enjoyed and who they were as people. And you talked to them from that perspective. And very rarely did religion or Jesus ever really enter the conversation. It was more be true to yourself and understand who you are as a person. And I have always really respected you and your friend group there, and I always will for that reason, and just because you're all excellent people.
Well, I can't tell you how much that means to you, because you know, you never really know you need to hear something until, geez.
Right. I understand. Oh, man, this podcast is great. Get to reconnect with people and tell them how much I love them.
I can see why you do this now.
Oh, yeah. So what's your experience been with friends and family and old church friends since you've deconverted?
So I would say as far as church friends goes, because I had, Seth, I was friends with before I gotten in the Word of Life, and he came along not too long after I had been in it. But in terms of people that I eventually came back to or have seen, I think of Pastor Lisa a lot,
mm-hmm.
just because of how much she had done for me, like as a person, even though I knew her religious beliefs and kind of like the differences that I had felt but never really expressed to her, which I think going back to now, if I ever that conversation with her, like, you know, she cared about me so much that it wouldn't even make a difference. And it was mutual, you know, like she was a very like motherly type figure to me, just super nice and did a lot. Like she helped get me money to go on those trips. She gave me a construction helmet whenever I got hit in the head with a shot put. You know, she was very involved in not just my like community church life, but my personal life. But then in terms of friends, Jesse and James, we didn't talk for a while after I had gone off to college and everything. I think the first year of my college, when I was at ECU, I had come back once to hang out with James's sister and all of them pretty much. But then about a year ago, I came back to Burlington. I was living in Wilmington for about 4 years. I didn't do so hot at ECU, came down to Wilmington to live with my brother for what I thought was going to be 2 weeks, and it ended up being for a year, and then staying 3 years in different places in Wilmington after that. So 4 years total.
I understand.
Yeah, life's crazy in that regard. But yeah, no, I moved back to Burlington. I had a lot of painful memories in Wilmington. I don't know if I've spoken to you about it, but two of my best friends had passed away in 2000. I believe it was 2018, that December. You remember PJ, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I did see when he did pass, and even though like I knew him, I loved him, I just wasn't like super close with him.
Right.
But even when I saw that, it hit me deep. So I couldn't imagine like the toll that it took on you and the people who were really close to him.
And yeah, that's pretty much, you know, that's what there is to say about that. You lose one of your best friends, and that is, whew, That's one of the roughest things. I never wish that on anybody. But yeah, and his, you know, his best friend Devontae, like me and him had hung out. Oh, God, I think we were all hanging out since the age of like 15, 16, right around there. So 8 years of friendship had passed between then, and just was a really big blow. And I felt like I needed to get away from my situation. I needed to come back to be around people that were more familiar. Not saying that my brother or any of the friends that I made in Wilmington weren't familiar, because I love all of them and I miss them to this day. I still want to come down and visit, but I felt like I had to just get something fresh, be in Burlington as an adult instead of a teenager.
Yeah.
And right now I'm still kind of working on where I want to go from here. But when I came to Burlington is when I started hanging out with Jesse and James again. And that's kind of where I'm going with all of this, is like, they were always like two of my closest friends. And, you know, now as an adult that we're hanging out, it's even better.
Well, I'm sure.
Because now we have all the freedom. Yeah. We've got the money to spend on ourselves if we want. We've got the freedom. So many things that we didn't have at that earlier age. And like, and it's crazy because now we're living together, even though it's temporary, and their kid too. Oh my God. Oh man. She's the cutest thing. I never thought I liked kids. I mean, I knew that I always liked kids, but I never thought that I loved them. Like, I never felt what a parent feels toward their kid.
Yeah.
I know she's not my kid, but like, I would do anything for her. And that's just bottom line.
Oh yeah. She's a little never hit me
quite as hard. She is, man. She is.
God, I mean, like, you think about like the source material she came from. Jesse, who's like genuinely one of the funniest and spiciest people you'll ever meet, and James, who is also truly hilarious and charismatic. And then you get like the world's coolest kid coming out from both of them.
Exactly. This awesome, beautiful combination, and it's so crazy to see her growing up. Like, even over this past couple months. You know, like, I've been back with them now for about a year. I've only been living with them a couple of months, since about February or late January, I think. But just seeing her grow up over that span of time, even a year's difference, is just, it's so wild to see it.
Yeah.
So wild.
Man.
But yeah, she's a great kid. Love her to death.
So, last question here. What would you say to somebody who is in the process of deconversion?
That's an excellent question. First of all, I would tell them, hey, man, or woman, you know, like whoever it is.
Right.
Everything is going to be okay.
Yep.
Everything's going to be fine. All right. No matter the people who don't like you after you come out in a way of saying that, you know, I'm deconverting, I don't necessarily have these beliefs anymore. The people who don't like you after that, they were never supposed to like you to begin with, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah.
You know, if they love you after, then they were meant to love you. But if they don't, then good riddance, goodbye. Don't let them affect your beliefs, your happiness, anything along those lines.
Absolutely. Was it Dr. Seuss who said, "Be yourself, and those who matter don't mind, and those who mind don't matter"?
I believe it was. That sounds like something Dr. Seuss would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's just put your happiness first. That's something I didn't know how to do for the majority of my life. And I look back on it now, like, what would the difference have been if I would have chose myself all along? And it's so much less pressure when you finally give in to what you truly believe.
Oh yeah. I know a lot of the people that I've talked to here on the show, and kind of a little bit myself included, talk about like the deconversion process was a very, very slow one, in that, you know, it started when they were really young in church and they didn't quite know how to express it. And then like, as they got older, they had more questions and it was like pressure building up, but still didn't quite know how to deal with it. And then when they finally left the church, that's when this buildup was like, oh, that's what that was. And it's like sudden relief.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this pressure just going away. Like, yeah. Oh, that's what
that was.
The weight
off the shoulders. Yeah. The clarity that comes after the fact, it's wild.
Absolutely.
Like I said, you know, and it's unfortunate that we can spend so much of our time on this earth, like, believing that we have to be a certain way, and not trusting our own resolve. I feel like when you don't have that person in their life to tell you, hey, you know, it's okay, you know, whatever it is that you believe, go ahead and just believe it, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're like a psychopath and you believe in like murdering people, maybe not do that. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like in terms of deconverting, if you don't want to believe in God, that is entirely okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you a terrible person, doesn't make you anything but what you want to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, a good rule of thumb that I've subscribed to is, you know, believe what you want and let other people believe what they want, so long as it doesn't hurt other people or oppress them, which,
right.
You know, honestly, for the most part kind of rules Christianity out.
Unfortunately, yes. And I have my own gripes with it, for sure. And, you know, it's hard not to have that resentment.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I won't stoop to that level because it's how I've been treated for the majority of my life is something I don't want to reciprocate towards others. I feel like that's just causing more harm, you know, hate breeds hate and that sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that was more of a joke than anything, too, because I have had several Christians here on the show who do personify what the true definition of Christianity should be. You know, Spencer Melton, Lily Kayes, Jesse Dick, my dad, talking about like the true genuine love that should come out of Christianity. And they're talking about their own gripes with how Christians represent the belief system. And I feel like if that's the way that Christianity was, as I've said 1,000 times before, if the way that it was meant to be is actually how it was, then I don't think as many people would have a problem with it.
Right. I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, thank you again so much for being on the show. Do you have any socials or anything that you'd like to promote?
I have a second Twitter account. If you want to follow my main Twitter account, it's at Mazeka Smash. I made it when I was in middle school. I'm sorry. I really had a thing for Marvel and the Hulk, so now it is. But my secondary Twitter account is at MessyJ8. That's just a page where I write a lot and I make music, and I really enjoy doing that. And if you feel like following it, please do. If you don't, that's totally okay. I'm not gonna pressure you like I've been pressured before. No, I'm just kidding. But I do post a lot of like lyrics and stuff that's very personal. It could be about any instance in my life. I really enjoy it. So I'm going to keep doing it regardless of whether you follow me or not, but feel free to if that's something you want to see.
Awesome. And I'll leave both of those Twitter handles in the show notes down below. And don't forget too, that you can also follow me on Twitter at Doctrine Detox and on Instagram at Doctrine Detox Pod. I'm also on Reddit r/Doctrine Detox Pod. And if you want to support the show, you can for free by leaving a 5-star review wherever you're listening to this episode. Or if you want to help in a more direct way, you can by subscribing to my Patreon at patreon.com/Doctrine Detox Pod. Plans start at just $1 a month and perks start at $3 a month, where you get access to episodes a day early and monthly AMA or Ask Me Anything posts, where you can ask me anything under the sun, doesn't have to be about religion, and I'll do the best that I can to answer you. Well, Jesse, once again, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I was very excited for this opportunity and, you know, for one, to talk to you again, but also get off a lot of thoughts that I've had for a long time. But
of course.
Thank you, sir.
Of course, yeah. And don't forget, everyone, like Jesse said, everything is going to be okay. The Doctrine Detox podcast is written, recorded, and produced by Adrian Cardwell. Special thanks to this week's guest, Jesse Mazeka. Original intro and outro music is Doctrine Detox by Adrian Cardwell.